over? Nah, we just getting started. It's payback time.
Best karma's coming, best be afraid. I'm a debt collector, any time I get paid. You set it off, now I'll flip that switch. It's lights out for you, payback's up. Keep your guard up, quit talking that smack. Cause no one escapes payback.
It's Adam Pearce.
Roman?
Oh, thank God. I'm looking for that. I wasn't going to get your signature on the contract. Hey, back. Triple threat. This is the last year. I'm going to take a look at this first. Fix the changes that we need. I'm telling you right now, I will be at Payback on Sunday. That is a promise. I will be in the triple threat match, wreck everyone and leave. That is a guarantee. And I will win back my Universal Championship that I never lost in the first place. That is not just a prediction. Spoiler. Believe that.
So there you have it. Roman Reigns is now a heel, and that is probably the biggest news of 2020, let alone this week. Unfortunately, it happened in a backstage segment with Paul Heyman. We talk often on the wrestling show about how TV shows and movies, if you're fully engaged in them, you will start to make up your own endings, or you'll start to draw your own conclusions, you'll start to tell the stories yourself. Me and Cal have spoken about that on the show. And often TV shows and most movies over deliver because obviously those creative minds are in those positions because they are more creative than you. Otherwise we'd all be film producers and script writers, etc. Often they do over deliver. The problem with wrestling is that too often it under delivers. And this definitely, for me, under-delivered. Is it the biggest thing that's happened this week? Yes. Is it the biggest thing that's happened this month? Yes. Is it the biggest thing that's happened in 2020? Again, I would say yes. Obviously, you have to exclude the situation which COVID has put us in, where you've had shows out of the Performance Center, and now you have shows coming out of the Thunderdome, because obviously that's a game-changing situation, but that's external. Internally, when we're talking about the in-ring product, for me, this has been the biggest thing that's happened this year, storyline-wise. But, as I said, this was something that once again under-delivered. This is something that, after 5 years, needed to be delivered in the ring. I mean, this should have been at the same level as Hulk Hogan at Bash of the Beach in 96. That's where this should have been. Instead, you got a backstage reveal with Paul Heyman sitting next to him. Do I think this is a good idea? Yeah, I think this is a good idea. I think it's long overdue. Do I think it's anticlimactic? It's possibly the most anticlimactic way you could have done it, especially when I look at all of the scenarios. I sat there in 2017, the night after WrestleMania 33, when this guy was the biggest heel of the decade. And he stood in the ring and said, "This is my yard now." People were ready to kill this guy. And they didn't turn him. The next week he came out as a babyface. That was the turn. You should have established a turn a night before where this guy killed The Undertaker. And you've had multiple babyfaces that he could have destroyed over time. Daniel Bryan and the Yes Movement at its peak being one of them. But you didn't do any of that. You've had matches between Lesnar and Roman where Heyman could have switched allegiances, but you didn't do it there. Instead, you did it on SmackDown. So as much as this will be something that keeps people engaged with the product, and it is going to raise the numbers, and so far in the Thunderdome, the numbers have been up, it has been, it was, a disappointing turn. I do feel, however, that this behind the scenes was one of the main reasons why Roman came back. Because speaking to my sources, and you're getting a little bit of news on this show as well, I have been told that this was one of the things that they used to bring Roman back. And at the same time, this was something that they used to get Paul Heyman to sign a new contract. Now, for those of you that don't listen to me on Vince Russo's show, I did reveal the news that Heyman's talent contract had expired at the same time as Brock's. And knowing that Brock wasn't coming back, they re-signed Brock to his image rights deal, which we've spoken about numerous times here on the show, how Brock's contract currently works. And Paul Heyman doesn't have an image right deal, so he was out of contract as a talent. But he also had a creative contract running at the same time. So for a temporary period, Heyman was being paid double. He was being paid as a talent and he was being paid as creative. Once his creative contract ran out and it wasn't renewed, he was no longer with the company for a short period of time. Paul Heyman was actually allowed for a short period of time to go over to AEW. Obviously, that didn't transpire because Heyman knows where his bread's buttered and he can easily come in with Brock Lesnar at any time once this pandemic is over. But instead, to avoid that risk, they've decided to get Heyman on a contract now, which puts his dates with Brock totally out of sync because Brock and Heyman's dates have always synced up. And now they sync up with the return of Roman Reigns. So I don't know exactly when Heyman's new contract was negotiated. I don't know the ins and outs of it at this time. I always know this guy, it's a very high six-figure salary just to be a manager. And some of the wrestlers don't even get that. And I'm talking like upper mid-card level guys don't get as much as Paul Heyman does to come in and do his shtick. So obviously the pay would have been right. That's all Paul Heyman needs to come back to work. They would have done a deal with these two guys collectively. They would have pitched the idea to Roman. Once Roman was on board, they would have began talks with Paul and everything would have come together. And both of these guys are getting exactly what they want because this is something that Roman's wanted for a long time. I don't think that anyone surely believes that Roman was entirely happy with how his character was being booked. I don't think anybody ever feels comfortable in that polarizing role where you have to turn around and say, oh, my character's just so polarizing, and as long as I'm getting a reaction, I don't care. Well, you're getting the wrong reaction, and that's because you're being given the wrong lines, and that's because your character has gone stale. And Roman knew he was stale. We've heard interviews with him, with Corey Graves, and other things that he's turned around and said. And this guy knew for a long time that he needed an edge and was prepared to team up with Paul Heyman and turn his character a long time ago. But the company wouldn't budge. The company wanted a smiling, happy babyface. And the emergence of Drew McIntyre, I believe, has given Roman the freedom to go away and do what he wants. Plus, the merchandise sales of Bray Wyatt have been phenomenal. When you're looking at guys in the last 10 years and you're looking at units to sales, then only John Cena and CM Punk can touch Bray Wyatt. That's how well he's done. He has pushed Roman out of that spot. Roman Reigns hasn't been the top merchandise seller since he returned at WrestleMania 35. He's played second fiddle to Becky Lynch, and then The Fiend managed to overtake both of them. So Roman has been hovering around in third and fourth. He's no longer the top babyface in this company. And it's now okay to do this. It's more okay than it's ever been. The timing has been better. The only problem that I had with it was the underwhelming way of which it was done. Taking us back to the point that me and Cav always make. Movies always outweigh your expectations, as do most TV shows that we love when we're talking about The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and You and anything else that people watch. They always go above your expectations. The WWE does not, and they certainly didn't with this, but we're getting something that we want to watch. I will be watching Payback tonight. I am doing a preview of Payback here. We have lots more to talk about as well. Namely, the debut of Keith Lee. And I don't want to be the podcast that moans. Because look, at the moment, wrestling podcasts are very much divided into. We have the social justice warriors who watch everything and love everything and defend everything, and they produce a sickening podcast that's basically unlistenable. Then we have the guys that come on and complain about everything. They just fucking hate everything that the WWE do. And I don't want to be that podcast. I've always prided myself that we sit in the middle. If it's good, it's good. If it's shit, it's shit. And we'll tell you about it. And quite frankly, for the last 3 years, there's been more shit than good. That's why there's been a more negative connotation to the podcast. But when it's good, it's good. We'll tell you. And this Monday night, that debut by Keith Lee wasn't good. There isn't anybody in the world that could possibly think that was good. He was dressed in a skirt. He looked ridiculous in that ring attire. And then they took away one of the main characteristics of Keith Lee, which is his music, the fact that he sings his own music and a music that everybody loves. And they took it away, apparently because of some backstage political issue with CFO, the company that made it. I don't understand why you couldn't just get him to re-rap over something that sounded relatively similar rather than, I think the worst part is that they went to WWE or WWE 2K20 creator wrestler generic number 5. I think that is the main problem with it that people had. And then he goes into a situation with Orton and cuts this weird hokey promo. Then he goes into a match with Orton, which is broken up by Drew McIntyre after 4 minutes and loses by disqualification to set up Sunday. I'm sorry, but if you haven't seen Keith Lee before, there's no way you're interested in this match. The core audience will be, which we've now seen is around about 1.2 to 1.5 million people. But I don't think that anybody seeing this guy for a first time is impressed and is seeing him as a potential main eventer, and especially not as a future WWE champion. It does look like to me they're doing a long story where they're building up to Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre, because we all know that Pritchard likes to copy paste everything from the past, and these two guys have somehow been positioned as friends, even though we've never heard of that anywhere else in the product. And suddenly they're friends, and they're probably going to lead to some kind of breakup down the line between Keith Lee and McIntyre. Maybe WrestleMania, but I'm not sure that that's going to be a WrestleMania main event if Keith Lee continues to cut bad promos like this, has bad music, and looks like a fucking moron wearing a skirt when he comes to the ring. That isn't going to be a WrestleMania main event. Elsewhere on Raw, we obviously had the attacks on Drew McIntyre by Randy Orton, which led to the bleeding on the brain, apparently. I guess that's just to write Drew off payback. I expect him back in time for Clash of Champions. I would think that this feud has to continue on to Hell in a Cell, because you don't really have anything heated up enough in time for that. Although I expect something coming out of tonight's triple threat match between Roman, The Fiend and Strowman. I expect something to come out of that where we have a feud that gets heated up enough for Hell in a Cell. Hell, you could even do Sasha Banks and Bayley at Hell in a Cell, because that looks like it could be reaching boiling point now. We saw this week again on Raw where Sasha lost again to Oscar. We had a weird promo with Bayley and Sasha, where she actually alluded to the fact that she should have known that Sasha couldn't defend the Raw belt and she's lost it every time. So in that sense, it does look like we're moving forward with this match this weekend. They go up against Nia Jax and Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. We'll talk more about that when we actually preview Payback. But I thought Raw was relatively watchable. If not, some of the stuff was really weird in terms of the stuff with Drew and Orton with the three punts. I think that makes the punt look a little bit weak, even though obviously I'm a friend of Drew and they're trying to make Drew look as strong as possible. But I think two would have been enough. I don't think they needed three, especially when this punt has been ending people's careers. When we look at Christian and Big Show and the situation with Ric Flair, suddenly a guy is getting up from them. Although saying that, maybe that was because Shawn Michaels sold it so damn poorly that that maybe Drew had to take a couple more. And then obviously Raw Underground this week was very, very underutilized. We didn't see much of Raw Underground, didn't see as much as we usually did. I hope they're not phasing it out, because I actually like Raw Underground. I like it as a new way to kind of replace a new way to showcase somebody without putting them in a squash match. I think that's really the secret use of Raw Underground. What I've picked up on is the fact that lower talent, rather than going into the ring and having a boring squash match, they can beat somebody in the Raw Underground atmosphere. Plus, it suits people a lot better. I think it suited Dolph Ziggler quite well. I like seeing Shayna Baszler walking down there, and her little cronies made their debuts there as well. So I think Raw Underground is a good break from the show in terms of just seeing wrestling. And I do want to see it remain. And it was a little bit worrying for me to see it so underutilized this week on Raw. Raw concluded with Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio teaming up. That really should have left that for a bigger pay-per-view. They just chucked it out there. There's only one time you could do this, and I understand having a rematch on Payback, but I think that was a bit of a throwaway. Obviously, it led to the final angle on Raw, which was Retribution beating up Rey and Dominic, but Rey and Dominic will team up again at Payback, and Retribution were there. I gave the six names away of the Retribution guys that were under the masks, but when you hear those names, you'll probably gather that it's not going to be the final people that end up being in Retribution. Otherwise, it will end up being massively underwhelming. So at the moment, currently, I can tell you the people under the mask are Caden Carter, Mia Yim, Shane Dawn, Dominic Dijakovic, Dio Madden, and Chelsea Green. Over on SmackDown, the main storyline of the night was Vince McMahon getting Adam Pearce to get these contracts signed. He started with Bray, got Braun in the middle, and obviously the show concluded with the signature of Roman Reigns. During the show, we had Jeff Hardy tease a future match with AJ Styles. In between that, he went through Nakamura relatively easily. I don't like Nakamura coming out and being this guy who answers an open challenge and gets beaten easily. They have absolutely destroyed this guy. And again, don't want to be the person who moans and moans and moans. So I will say that the shows have generally been better this week, and it's not a surprise to see the ratings go up. It's just a case of them just not being able to do things right. It's almost at a point where we accept all of this stuff and we say we're just happy to not be bored. And I certainly wasn't bored this week. It still doesn't mean they're doing anything right. It still doesn't mean that Roman Reigns should turn heel backstage. It still doesn't mean that Keith Lee should be dressed up as a woman in drag. It still doesn't mean that Nakamura should be squashed by Jeff Hardy. And some guys will say he wasn't squashed or whatever, but he came out unadvertised to answer an open challenge for the Intercontinental title and ends up getting beaten easily in an unadvertised match while AJ's sitting out there doing commentary. He's in a nothing spot. He is a tag team champion at the moment with Cesaro. We'll see how long that lasts. Sasha and Bayley came out on this show. I mentioned earlier that Bayley made that comment about Sasha not being able to defend the belt. Nia and Shayna popped up on the TV screen. Obviously, Sasha and Bayley, I think, have been carrying these two shows for the last 3-4 months. I know Russo's critical of them, and obviously everything's not perfect. As I said, I don't like the crappy heel laughs that they do and when they overplay the heel characters, but they have been watchable. And compared to some of the other women and the way that they perform, you would have to say that Sasha and Bayley have been the MVPs of the women's division since Becky Lynch decided to depart to have a baby. We had Cesaro beat Kalisto in a match. We had Braun Strowman squashing Drew Gulak. And then obviously we had this main event where Big E teamed up with Heavy Machinery against Sheamus and Miz and Morrison. We see Big E versus Sheamus this week at Payback. Obviously, they're doing the little build-up on Talking Smack where Big E's talking about how it took Kofi 11 years to get an opportunity and talking about his own character this week and how he knows when to be serious and when he doesn't. As much as you want to say that, and as much as you think that you understand the audience because the New Day did get over, I don't think that this is going to work, because the moment that you separated from New Day, that was the time that you needed to flip the switch. That was the time when people were expecting something different, and all you ended up being was an extension of the New Day. Now, without a heel turn, there isn't going to be a definitive switch. Yes, you can get angry, and yes, you can all of a sudden go into beast mode, and yes, you can go on a winning streak, which I'm sure WWE are going to put him on because they believe in this character and they believe in the New Day, and they previously believed in Kofi Kingston. But Kofi Kingston didn't work because he was too attached to the comedy character that he was in the New Day with the pancakes and all the bullshit, and he was never taken seriously as WWE champion. He never got new music, and everybody was just waiting for him to lose the belt. And that would be the same with Big E, because he hasn't made the disattachment to the New Day that he needs to make. And he seems to think that he can continue being Big E from the New Day, but just selectively switch the serious switch, and people are going to be on board of it. They're not going to be on board of it. You need to make a clear disattachment to the New Day. It had to be when Woods and Kofi were injured. That was the disattachment that people were looking for. They were looking for something different. Now they're looking for a heel turn. They are not looking for this character to come out and be the same old Big E and then flick the switch for certain feuds. That's not how it's going to work. That's not how it works to a WWE audience that want a clear and definitive change of character with the music, with the ring attire. And it could have happened with the separation of the New Day. And now I feel the only way this character gets serious is with a heel turn. Yes, they're going to get behind him, and he's going to probably challenge for the WWE title with his character, and he's going to get wins over big people. But whether the audience are going to buy into it, I very much doubt it, because throughout his entire time as champion, people didn't really buy into Kofi Kingston. I hope what I'm saying here makes sense, but basically I'm not buying into Big E, but I do think that he'll win at Payback tonight. So let's move on to Payback, where the main event is for the Universal title. We're going to look at the betting lines here. Roman Reigns is the 4-6 favorite to become the new Universal champion tonight. Bray's available at 2-1, and Braun Strowman, who was only the champion a week ago, is 16-1. So no chance for him. It's a battle between The Fiend and Roman. I think the big giveaway here would be the addition of Paul Heyman. I don't think that can start in a loss. So I would be looking for Roman Reigns to emerge here as the champion, which means The Fiend gets another shitty run with that belt. Obviously, we didn't see the Fiend title this week, so the blue belt goes straight to Roman, and I think Fiend chases it as a babyface, which is going to be quite bizarre. The second highest match on the card is Keith Lee versus Randy Orton, and this is a complete toss-up. I myself don't know where to go with this one. Both guys are available at 10 to 11. If Keith Lee wins, then he gets into the title program. That way, at Clash of Champions, you can do yourself a triple threat match, and Keith Lee can get pinned by McIntyre, which leaves the Orton and Drew feud wide open for Hell in a Cell. That's an easy way to get to it. Or Keith Lee looks really competitive here against Randy Orton, and Randy Orton wins. I'm leaning very, very, very slightly towards Keith Lee, because I don't think you can have that underwhelming debut here and then lose on your pay-per-view debut on the main roster as well. But that's really the only reason I'm leaning towards him here. Sasha Banks and Bayley are 6-4 underdogs here against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, who are available. Sorry, not 6-4, they're 5-4, with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax at 8-13. I think Baszler and Jax win the titles here. They become the tag team champions that don't get along, and we move away from Sasha and Bayley. We add more fuel to that fire with these two, and obviously if they lose the tag team titles, that will add more fuel to the fire for this relationship. Apollo Crews versus Bobby Lashley here. Bobby Lashley is the 1-3 favorite, and Apollo Crews is at 2-1. I've been saying for a long time that this is all building towards getting some gold around Lashley, and I think he just squashes Crews here. Crews was a Heyman project. Lashley wasn't. They quickly wanted to get Lashley away from losing too many rematches to Drew McIntyre for the WWE title, because they're high on him, which is why we saw Dolph Ziggler shoehorned into a title spot, which never really made any sense because it was all set up for the Lashley rematch. But Lashley has been protected ever since, and he's going to end this show, I believe, as the US champion. So he's the rightful favorite, yeah. Dominic and Rey Mysterio going up against Seth Rollins and Murphy. Dominic and Ray are the 4-6 favourites, with Rollins and Murphy at 11-10. Ray and Dominic seem to just continually lose to Seth Rollins. One guy lost an eye. The other guy lost his first match last week. Ray and Dominic then get beaten up by Retribution. These guys need a win. Obviously, Rey's just signed a new contract as well. I think the feud gets extended here with Rey and Dominic getting the win in this match tonight. They are the rightful favourites, and I'd be putting some money on them here at 4-6. Matt Riddle versus Baron Corbin. Matt Riddle is at 1-2 and Baron Corbin is at 6-4. Again, we're not taking many underdogs on this show. This show here, Payback, seems to be priced up correctly because I like Matt Riddle here to win this match with Baron Corbin. If you remember, there was some heat on Baron Corbin when Riddle came in because he said that Riddle should have to go through some more opponents before he got to him because Corbin wasn't happy with being a stepping stone. Well, the time has come for Corbin to be that stepping stone. Riddle has got those wins. He has actually had some losses as well. I mean, they've already blown through an Intercontinental title challenge where Riddle lost clean to AJ Styles. So that would be a little bit disappointing for people that thought that Riddle was going to come in and be his huge star on SmackDown because he has kind of slotted in as just another guy. He doesn't feel special. Perhaps after this program with Baron Corbin concludes, that may happen. Although I don't think the program will necessarily conclude tonight, but I do think Riddle will end up getting the win because he certainly can't afford to take a loss. We've spoken about Big E and Sheamus. I originally thought this was going to be a pre-show. It's not. It's going to be the Riot Squad versus the Iconics on the pre-show. Big E's the overwhelming favourite here at 1-4 with Sheamus at 3-1. Again, I think Big E ends up winning this match. I'll reiterate that Big E wins this match. And the Riot Squad versus the Iconics. This is going to be on the pre-show. This is usually a babyface spot. And the Riot Squad are the 2-7 favourites with Iconics at 11-4. And I think they get the win here. So all the favourites here I have winning. When you're looking at Sky Bet Request a Bet specials here, you have Reigns, Rey and Dominic and Big E all to win at 10-11. I like that. You have Lashley, Rey and Dominic, Riddle and Big E all to win their matches at 5-4. I like that. And then you have Baszler, Jax, Riddle, Lashley, Big E all to win their matches at 2-1. I like that as well. There are no dogs on this show that I like. Obviously, the match between Keith Lee and Randy Orton is a complete pick'em, and it's tough for me to call as well. I really can't decide what way they're going to go with that one. Randy Orton needs to win because he lost last week and he needs to reestablish himself as the number one contender. And Keith Lee cannot afford to lose after one of the worst debuts I've seen. I don't understand why they didn't just put him in with a program against someone like Dolph Ziggler, send him on this pay-per-view with a win, build him up the card, let him squash some lower talents, those challenging for the 24/7 titles or people from Raw Underground or whatever. You know, there's people at the bottom of Raw that Keith Lee could have plowed through. And if you needed a significant enough name here as a debut, then Dolph Ziggler would have fit the role. That is really Ziggler's role in the company at this point of his career. And I don't understand why you go straight in for Orton unless you're going to beat Orton. And at the same time, I don't understand why you beat Orton when Orton is the next challenger looking for a rematch against Drew McIntyre and has just injured him with that bleeding brain injury this week on Raw. Very, very confusing, but I'm interested. I'm interested in everything that's happened since SummerSlam. As critical as I have been about the specifics of certain things, I am interested in this show. I have enjoyed the vast majority of TV since they moved over to the Thunderdome. And I'm also enjoying what AEW are doing at the moment. I am looking forward to Jon Moxley versus MJF next week. I'm hoping for a new champion. I don't think we're going to get one. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that on the wrestling show this week. But that concludes your bonus show. We did a little bit of Raw. We did a little bit of SmackDown. And we previewed the betting lines for Payback. Obviously, we talked extensively about the main two developments this week, which has been the underwhelming but long overdue heel turn of Roman Reigns, which I look forward to seeing how that ends up. And of course, the terrible debut of Keith Lee. For his sake, I hope that he has some different ring gear tonight and they do work on that music. He did tweet that he was working on something. He said it was out of his control, but he was working on it. So hopefully tonight we see something better with Keith Lee, because I do like Keith Lee and I do think he has the potential to be a big star. So we look forward to seeing what happens with that tonight here on the pay-per-view. That's it for this show. Make sure you check out the wrestling show on Tuesday. Make sure you head over to my website, thedirtysheets.com, where you can get all of the latest news for just $5, and you can get the betting picks on the $40 package. You can also check me out on Vince Russo Show. I'm live on YouTube for free every Wednesday, and then the show comes out on Saturday. Good luck with all of your bets as always, and thanks for listening.